Yeah, we're live.
Oh.
We're live from BBC Radio.
Oh, well, I can barely hear him. Okay, so, okay, welcome everybody on the internet. Well, wait a minute. How can we be on live? Is it even 6 o'clock yet?
Yes, well, they, 5 minutes of usually they make us live.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, so getting back to the shingles thing, if you go on their website, you can ask questions or you can call in on their radio show every day, which is free. And so anyway, I don't have internet service, so I just listen to this on the radio and stuff like that and talk to different people. So I know you have internet and you're very good at it. So I'll let you relax, and I guess I'll greet everybody today.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you. You're always a pleasure to talk to when you're healthy. Good evening. Who's this? Would you like to say your name and where you're from if you would like to? If not, that's okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call.
Thank you. This is Pat in Sacramento.
Hi, Pat in Sacramento. This is May in Concord.
Oh, hi.
I don't know where Heiss is, so no music today.
Oh, I see.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call. Who's this?
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Oh, hi, Joni. This
How
is May in Concord.
I
don't know where
May?
Heiss, but we miss him.
Long time no talkie.
So, Pat in Sacramento, are you near the Orville Dam?
What, honey?
Are you near the Orville Dam?
No.
Oh, good.
No, okay. I'm a little bit east of Sacramento.
East, so that's further away then.
Yeah, in the direction of Tahoe.
Ah. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and where you're from?
Hi, it's Prudence in Orlando.
Hi, Prudy.
Hello.
This is May in Concord. Who else came in?
How are you?
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
This is May in Concord.
Hey, May, thank you for filling in.
Is this Mr. Wynn?
Yep.
Who's constantly free?
You know what? It's only a term of endearment.
You know, I heard a song on the radio the other day by the five electrical band called Sign, and that reminded me exactly of you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad someone finds me familiar. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yes, my name is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Now, let's see. Is Terry Brown here yet? Where is Terry Brown?
Well, she hasn't said hello if she is here.
I'm going to go find her. Keep an eye on the shop.
I will. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and where you're from?
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. This is Van Conkey.
Hi.
Miss you. Isn't this the same Michelle that was trying to get on one of the team shift calls?
Like maybe a half a year or a year ago.
Oh, was it that long? My goodness.
Okay.
Probably. This is what happens when you're asleep 90% of the time.
No, I think time moves pretty quickly.
Mm.
But yeah, I was trying to find one that worked for me, and I didn't come up with one. And what one are you on?
Well, I was on the one that you were coming on once in a great while, and so I think the morning call.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But is it still going?
I didn't hear you, Michelle.
Is it still going?
No, everybody got a job.
Oh.
And
well, it
okay, it worked. And the only one that didn't get a job was me because I'm still too sick. But that doesn't,
I'm
you
sorry.
Know, be down.
Yeah. Good. Well, good.
I miss Heise's music.
I know.
I was curious if Prudence had any more experience with that Golden Light at all.
No, I heard you there, Don. No, I haven't. I've been traveling, and I'm in a motel room. A friend of mine got injured, so I flew to Orlando. It was shortly after that experience. So we'll see. You know, when I'm in my own space, we'll see if it happens. I'll let you know.
You,
how about you?
Did you? I don't know if you knew that the golden sparkles of light is supposed to be the Ra'an's signature.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Terry used to say that every once in a while on, when she was channeling.
Wow. Well, that's nice confirmation. I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
Well, someone else came in. Welcome to the call, the new person that just came on. Would you like your name and where you're from?
Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hi, Steve. Who else came in? Anybody
Colin.
Else?
This is Deb in Oregon.
Did you say Deb?
Deb in Oregon, yep.
Hi, Deb in Oregon. Welcome. Hi. This is
Thank
May
you.
From Concord.
Hi, May.
I can't hear them.
Is that Terry?
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
Hello. Hi.
Are you eating healthier food and taking your supplements, you naughty little girl, you?
I know. Could do better.
Oh, please do better. We will miss you in your physical body if you leave us.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
But I'm going to send you unconditional love anyway.
All right.
Please get better.
Okay.
Is Prudy still out there?
Yes, she is. I'm right here.
You know, when you were talking about that golden light, you were playing with a cup of water?
Yes.
Did it? What did you make it do, like jump out of the glass? Or?
No, I had a glass. It was a glass, like pretty fine glass, not plastic, and it was just filled with very good water from a mountain stream. So I don't know, the thought struck to me to hold it in my left hand, and I made circles with my right hand, and the glass disappeared, and it turned into sparkles of gold.
And then did the glass reappear, or did it just disappear into the ethers?
No, eventually my hands turned into like tennis rackets of gold, and eventually... I don't know how to explain it, but it's like if you're looking across the room and then you realize you're not looking across the room, you're looking right in front of you, that's where it was all occurring. And then eventually, as time wore on, everything started to go back to normal. So the glass began to just become a glass again.
Mm. Wow.
And my eyes went toward the back of the room instead of in front of me.
Okay, and it didn't spill out all over the floor or something. The water.
No, the water stayed right where it was. It was the energy just shooting everywhere. It was huge, huge, huge energy.
Ah, okay. Well, welcome to the person that just came in. Would you like to say who you are and where you're from?
Yes, Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Welcome. This is May from Concord. I don't know what happened to Hi.
Okay.
Would you like
I think.
Was that you coming in or somebody else new?
Lena in Sedona.
Who?
Lena.
You
Lena.
Jenna.
Elena.
Oh, I couldn't hear her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, welcome, Elena.
Hi, thank you. Who was this?
This is May from Concord.
Who?
May from Concord.
May. Oh.
California.
Okay.
Sedona.
Lenny, you sound depressed tonight.
Me? Ah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I just got off of a team shift call. It was very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm just quiet.
I'm going to mute you all.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And Terry, can I hear you?
Yeah. How's this? Is this okay?
Oh, yeah, it's very good. Very clear.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get started.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 22nd, 2017, Lynn and Terry in Sedona, everyone everywhere, and we have questions that people have submitted. And Terry, Don, before we bring in the light and start talking to the other guys, Don Herman asked a question. He had listened to Team Shift the other day when we read the excerpt that you channeled about, where you were with, where Daphne was channeling, and asked a question about, you remember a life in the seventh density?
Yes.
And they said your name was Akashana, right? And Don Herman asked a question for your conscious self. What's it like to live in the seventh dimension? Did you have a body? Did it look human-like? What's your environment like? I just want to know what you remember, if you really do remember specifics.
It was like a light body, very light. And I love the name Akashana. And I had certain duties that I did. I was more like serving other people that were very, very advanced, and I considered it a real privilege, and it's like I had reached a certain level of advancement, and then I was allowed to progress into a higher level of advancement, where I served people that were higher in enlightenment than me. And
Hey, Terry, this is Don.
Yeah.
I was actually interested in, you know, what was it actually like feel like to live on the seventh dimension? What's the environment like? Can you move around in your body?
Yeah.
Are there buildings there and stuff? I mean, sort of what's it like physically or non-physically to live there? Thanks.
Yeah, there are buildings, but they are very thin, and but my body was thin. I mean, by thin, I mean it wasn't dense. My body was not dense, and none of our bodies were dense. And we did have buildings that we would go into, very much seems like buildings here, but the buildings here are very, very more dense. They're very crystalline and airy and very beautiful.
Like, how do you get around? Do you like fly, walk, or what?
Yeah, it's like you have the light body. You can intend yourself. And it's like a spirit body. And you can intend yourself around. Or I had graceful movement. Sometimes it was like walking. and but graceful, and graceful intention on moving, serving drinks. It was very graceful realm.
It sounds a lot more like the third density that I would have guessed that it would be. It doesn't sound like it's all that super different, really.
Well, there's a lot more control over it. I mean, there's, you can see what other people are thinking. But communication is easier. Music is beautiful. A lot more harmony. Things aren't as... things flow very, very easily there. But
did you have a three? Did you have a 3D body and evolve up to that, or did you devolve down into that?
Mm-hmm.
If you know.
I would have to take a look. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Don. Let's get started with the questions. Let me bring in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke the group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protective space that only the positive can access, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And we are in this density at the same time that we are in the higher densities. And we are able to move around easily. This is a higher density than the seventh. And we do not come to the telephone line. We come directly to you. And if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then it does not apply to you at this time. Do you have questions?
Yeah. First question is from me. What percentage of the population of Earth is penetrating energetically through the veil?
It depends upon the degree of penetration. So 10% are penetrating really, really strongly through the veil. The remainder are penetrating in various smaller degrees. They are all based upon life beyond the veil. And they all have potential to glow brighter and move more heavily through the veil?
I would imagine in different times, a person is penetrating more or less. Depending on their activities. Like if somebody's on our calls and we bring in a really high energy, some people may suddenly have their first experience penetrating through the veil. Is that likely?
It is possible. There are many life experiences and issues where the individual prays and extends through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
They can extend through the veil more in listening and participating in the calls, too.
Mm-hmm. And if one is going to die, leave this realm, since at very various points of time, people have greater degrees of penetration in the veil, does it make a difference if they die in one of those points of greater penetration?
The answer would have to be yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they happen to die in a higher, more expanded space, then that's good. They have a better, more options on the other side, perhaps.
They're able to be picked up and guided more easily on the other side.
And that's probably why it's so important that if somebody is dying, to be especially kind to them and hold energy for them, if you can, at the moment they pass. Yes?
Yes. And also to speak with them rather than, even if you do not know they are hearing, but to talk with them, because very often they can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Question from Don Herman. How can we develop a better rapport with our higher self? And perhaps you could answer the question as to what exactly is a higher self?
Thank you. Is that Don's question?
No, that's my question. I thought we'd ask that question first before we ask Don's question. So everyone is on the same page.
Thank you. The higher self is an aspect of want that is guiding the lower self. There is a lower self, and there is a middle self, and in the lower self, there are molecules, and there are body organs, and they are all working together to produce the physical body and its effects in the physical world. The molecules and the body functions are guided by the spirit of the organs, you might call them, and they all work together. And this would be the lower self coordinating. A person is a complex being. And then there is the middle self, the mind, and the coordination of the whole of the body is connected with the nervous system, and that is all working together with a higher self. Higher self is spirit, the spirit guiding the individual. And teaching and coordinating the middle self and the lower self. So how to better connect with the higher self? It would be the aspect of you that is the lower self and the molecules and the organs and the systems of the body, and then the middle self with the meridians that go through and connect with the aspects, other aspects of the body, and connect it with the hologramic larger area, the GPS, the medians that go through and connect with the star systems and help create the astral, help create the astrology, the connection with the stars, and the connection with the astral, and then the higher self that is the guiding set individual or being or spirit for the whole, and coordinating the whole effort. So you actually are your higher self, and you have all of the other parts working with you. We hope that provides some answer.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Sushil in Tanahan, Nepal. Sushil, Tanahan, Nepal, wants to ask, why do I have vibrations around my backbone when I lay in bed or go to sleep? And then he asks, how can I get rid of the negative thoughts?
Thank you. Those are two separate questions. Just a moment. When you are lying in bed, you are connecting with some of the earth factors surrounding you. Check it out and see if you are lying in bed at a mile distance. Do the vibrations change at all? It is your connection, your ground with the earth, and you may get them in both places. It is your body connecting, grounding to earth as you are lying in bed. In answer to your second question, negative thoughts all have a basis. And the basis can be looked at when you get a negative thought. Do not act on it. It can be from a number of sources, from your neighbors, picking up thoughts that are not really even yours. And if you get a negative thought, then do not like it, and it is something you have taken on or reaction from an earlier time or even an earlier life that you are still trying to resolve, that you are trying to work your way through. So look at it like a picture book, like a video, and see where the pictures go. Do not get involved so much in it as to just look. You are involved in it, though. But to look at it and to see what other information is connected with it. Are there pictures connected with it? Places you have been, other people, memories, and is there an earlier thought or scene that is an entryway to? They all have a cause. It can be taken on from neighbors or family and picked up as like a telegraph machine, just picked up from the atmosphere. But can be something connected with your childhood that you are still trying to work through. When you get a negative thought, you don't have enough information to work it through. So just calmly see what is connected to it. What was the trigger? What happened just before that negative thought? And you can learn to isolate out the different thoughts and different triggers and when you find out enough information, you can put those thoughts to bed.
Mm-hmm. You know, in India, people have, many people have a high level of spiritual aspiration, and they identify with, enlightenment or some very high place. And then, I believe, when they have what they interpret as a negative thought, they may be judging themselves. What would you say in relationship to self-judgment and negative thoughts?
There may have been something in an earlier life where they were not happy with themselves, and they are trying to correct themselves. However, it is like a movie screen, and it is giving you some information, and do not judge yourself for it. Take it moment by moment to review it, see what it is, to dismiss it, it does not mean that because you have a negative thought that you are a bad person. It is to find out more about yourself or about your surroundings or where these thoughts have come from, is more just be objective and analytic about it. Do not judge yourself.
Thank you. So if somebody is looking at a woman, if a man is looking at a woman lustfully, and he went through a certain kind of spiritual practice, he could easily look at that as a negative thought and have self-judgment that he is less than holy, for example.
Yes, yes. However, as we were speaking earlier, you have a lower self, a middle self, and a higher self, and the lower self, the body, may pick up the sexual vibe from the woman, which is beyond control of the higher self or the middle self even, and the body may be responding, but it is a function of living in the third density that these things occur.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Rebecca in Cottonwood. Last week, a friend and I were walking at night, and we saw a fairly large-looking spaceship type of thing in the sky coming in our direction. I thought I saw a red beam, kind of a laser or probe, going before it aimed at the ground. My friend freaked out, and I suggested we change the direction of our route, so we turned around. It did not feel like it was something I wanted to get close to. Could you please tell me what it was? Also, my friend and I have seemingly had quite a few synchronistic meetings before this one, just with each other. Is there something connected going on with these experiences? Does he have any special purpose for me, or me for him? He keeps going back to where the spaceship was. Rebecca.
Thank you. Spaceships have at the bottom light that they can project on people. Orangish, reddish light that they can project on people, and that it can image them. And at times they do image people, and the people see an orangish light. There have been UFO phenomena around Cottonwood the last few days. As how it is connected, as you think of the spaceship, then you bring it into view. As your friend thinks of the spaceship, he can bring it into view. It is created, the circumstance for it to appear or to set up the surroundings that it can set it up for appearance. Also,
are you saying that the spaceship had a psychic connection to them personally?
Spaceships are controlled in the area of thought. And so there can be interaction between one's thoughts and a station.
Mm-hmm. And was Rebecca correct to have some anticipation and want to get away from it?
Yes.
In other words, it was not a positive service to others.
No, it is not. It is It is what it is. But we do not recommend getting involved with it.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I made that point because some people would think they're honored to have a spaceship buzzing around them. All right. Next question here. This is from Helen in Virginia Beach. I don't think we asked this last week. If we did, please tell me. Studies and experiments prove memories can be manipulated and changed, making people believe they remember something they don't, and believing they did something, experienced something, or saw something they didn't. Also, some studies show each time a memory we have is taken out, looked at, thought about, it has changed. That makes me ask, can we ever be sure our memories are true? And how can we know if we're right or we're wrong? Okay, so let me go back to our first question. Studies and experiments prove memories can be manipulated and changed, making people believe they remember something they don't, believing they did something they didn't. My question, first of all, is that actually true? And how was that done? How is somebody made to remember something they don't or believe they did something that they didn't? How is that? If there's studies and experiments, you didn't go into that. So I wanted to get a clarification on that first.
If someone is presented with information that they are supposed to remember that they didn't really actually experience, it was in the mind of someone to send to them. They can remember this as a false memory.
So you wouldn't call it a holographic projection. Some people say that's true. Like, it's possible to project a hologram of a reality and a person thinks they're in that reality in a waking state, but they're actually just in a hologram projection.
That is possible for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the hologram had to be conceived by someone.
Mm-hmm.
How can one know that their memory is true? They can, in their heart of hearts, they know what is true. And although false memories have sought to be put in, they can eventually get through that and sort it out and get to their heart of heart memory.
Okay, second part of the question. If we daydream, or if we dream at night, can those dreams be transferred into a memory that we believe actually happened? If daydreaming can create a possible scenario in another vibration or dimension, can being having our memories manipulated possibly create scenarios in another dimension or vibration level?
Yes, Mama. Well, the answer, they can, but when one is dreaming, they can be accessing another dimension, and they can be accessing guidance. There are different kinds of dreams. If they're dreaming and it seems like a real dream from some other time or some other density, that can be a creation of that scenario in another density of time. Can move into different hologramic situations. Sometimes dreams are teaching dreams where one is given a scenario in a dream that provides a solution of something they have been searching for or a way to act that they have been searching for or experience and how to get along with others that they have been searching for. Sometimes dreams are given by the guides in another dimension, and they are teaching dreams. They can be an echo of things that have happened in the higher density, can be an echo of something that has happened in one's past. It can be a problem that's set about that one is seeking to move through, and it lays out the problem for their review.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Rich, I'm not sure of your question, Rich. I'll run through, and this might not be an appropriate question for a number of reasons. One is that our emphasis is not to talk with people on the other side of the veil. And yes, it has happened spontaneously sometimes, as we talked about on our Monday call, I think it was our Monday call a week ago. But I don't want to encourage a lot of questions about, people still ask, some people put people in the light on the other side, but what Rich is asking about, there's a fellow named Kenneth Wapnick who edited and taught A Course in Miracles for many years. He died in 2013. His work lives on with many short instructional videos online and the book teaching manual and worksheets through his foundation. And Rich wants to know if he has any changes to his teachings to recommend from the other side of the veil.
Thank you. We do not wish to access this in that when an individual leaves this realm, in a certain sense, that life is finished. And they are transitioning, and they are moving on. If the individual, say, the person mentions Uncle Neil, and Uncle Neil passed over, and how's he doing? Then we will check on him or her, and we will see if there's any response or connection, and often there is, because the person has just recently transitioned and still is connected. However, the people moving to the other side have moved into a different transitional mode, and we do not wish to interrupt the referees or their progress or to yank them out of where they are at. So if there's a spontaneous connection, then we can connect. But if not, then we send them love light and unconditional love for wherever they are. And if we are, say, have a message for someone that has passed, we can give the message from someone that is on the density side. We can give the message. However, we do not wish to access their responses and knowledge and attempt to bring them back into this realm and perhaps interrupt their transition. So we do not make contact.
Thank you. In other words, when a person dies, the chances are they are not looking at Earth and saying, I should have finished this project or I should have done that. They're moving on in general.
Yes.
I know. And they're moving into other realms, they're moving into future lifetimes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So whether you like it, whether the creation is complete, however it is when you left it, and that's it.
He may, on his own, continue his studies. However, to pull him back into a repertoire would not be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other day, okay, this is from Bonnie in Corona, California. She's working on a business venture, which includes the purchase of an already existing bar restaurant business and leasing the historical building, which is the old train depot here in my hometown. I have two other married couples as partners, and I have a 50% investment. I feel good about it and would like to know if there are any unseen issues I am aware of that Ra'an might reveal, and what gift or talents or distortions can I bring forward for the greater good. Thank you for this rare opportunity.
Thank you. We see that in the taking on of this project, that it could be very, very successful moving past the initial investments and the setups. Be sure to check out any connections with tracks or pipes underground that may bring some unexpected visitors, animals, or openings, rusted pipes, or unseen things below the ground or the walls. Be sure to check that all out of what needs to be done before the remodeling.
Thank you. And I think that's it for tonight, except for the question from Edna. And Edna, why don't you ask it again next week, the question. And we're going to mosey on over to Whole Planet Healing on another line. And if you are not aware, I'll bet you everybody here is aware, but if for some reason you're not, you can get the phone number at WholePlanetHealing.com. And we welcome your participation. And let me see here. Where am I?